Hello and welcome back to Full Out with Samantha Jo Harvey. I am so pumped you are here. Whew! We've had some incredible guests on the podcast lately, and I am so excited to introduce you to Carrie Montgomery. She is a dynamic leadership and performance coach for personal brands, renowned for her unique approach as a nervous system healer. Through her innovative, elegant leadership program, she empowers CEOs, executives, and entrepreneurs, blending applied neurology, neuropsychology, and somatic practices to enhance personal and professional growth. She has expertise in film, design, sales, marketing, well-being, and she couples that with her profound understanding of the body-mind connection. And she gets incredible, incredible transformations for her people. She's been in Forbes, the Oprah Winfrey Network, Super Soul Sunday, Coastal Living, Maine Women's Magazine, and Hay House. And I am so excited for you to join this conversation, really, really diving into this buzzword of the nervous system and nervous system regulation. Carrie allows us to get underneath the hood. She gives practical tips and tools. We do exercises in the conversation. And I just know that this is going to be incredibly supportive for you and probably the women in your life. So if you love this interview, please share it with a friend, drop it onto social media, tag us, let us know your biggest takeaway, because truly our mission, my mission, is to raise the vibration of women on the planet. My loves, thanks for being here. Let's dive in. Carrie, I am so excited you are here. First, I just want to say that we first met at a women's retreat. And when I saw you in that room, I don't even know if it was a retreat. I don't know what to call that weekend, but it was like a magical coming together of like, like very spiritual, wild, woo-woo, but like super powerful, incredible women. And I remember seeing you across the way, and you were this like gorgeous, statuesque, tall blonde with lipstick. And I was like, I need to be friends with her. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I was super intimidated by you. And I love that, because now we're buds. Yeah. I'm like, we've gone through a lot together in the last 6 months, I believe. And I'm just so excited to bring your magic and your knowledge and your wisdom to the podcast. So thank you so much for being here, babe.
Thank you so much for having me, Sam. I am so excited to be here and to share our wisdom with all of your people. It's like, we have really been on a journey. It really started at that closing part with the breath work.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Can we start there? I normally start the podcast in a totally different way, but I think that that was perfect and potent. So at the end of this weekend retreat, we had a breathwork session. And anyone who's listened to the podcast knows that I have a giant love-hate relationship with breathwork. It's very challenging for me. I feel like I step out of my body and it's really hard for me to dive back in. And I've had some tough experiences in the past with practitioners that maybe couldn't hold the space for me. And so as we were going into this session, I was like, oh no, oh no, oh no. I immediately didn't feel safe. And afterwards,
well, there were a lot of people in the room though, too. So there's that too.
There was a lot of energy.
Yeah.
And I had full past life visions. I had crazy things of me burning at the stake. I had wild things transmuting. Like, it was really, really intense.
Yeah.
And at the end, we were coming out of it, and Carrie was, thank God, was supporting the energy in the room. You weren't in the session. You were holding
the room. Yeah.
And I remember coming out of it and being like, I'm not here. I can't feel my body. I'm not here. And I looked at Carrie and like, I need help.
Yeah, you were like, I'm not okay.
I was crying. I'm not okay. And you just swooped in and supported. And I would love if you want to share anything about that experience, because that really, I think, got us close.
I think it totally did. It totally bonded us forever. I think there's a great responsibility when people open up. And I have trained my whole life to be able to hold people. It is my life's purpose, really. And to have someone see you and trust you and know that they can be held instantaneously is such an honor. I really want to be a well of safety for people. And just knowing that we can move through anything that does come up, and we did, right? And we got you back in your body. And yes, you know, it was like an exit of like, where am I going? But we got you back in your body so that you felt a little more grounded. And that was the most important thing, you know? And I think there's a different pathway for everyone. And I think that's why I've spent 30 years like studying so many different tools and techniques and learning to like just trust the presence that I've cultivated.
Let's dive in, Carrie, because you have an incredible story and you have incredible tools, and we're totally going to get to the tools, but I think that your story is a really important grounding piece of sharing the tools. It's one thing to be like, here's how you regulate your nervous system, or here's what you need to do. But I think that you have so much wisdom in your experience. So I would love for you to share what got you to this point where you can hold other people, where you have all of these tools, where it is your mission to really support and hold people as they elevate.
Yeah. Great question. A lot of trauma.
Yay.
I basically molded it for everyone so that then I could solve it. And but I like an old me wouldn't have been able to even say the word trauma and be okay with it. But I've had 14 surgeries. So I've gone through multiple medical incidences that have left my body not feeling safe over and over again. So it's created responses, reactions that I didn't even know or understand what was happening to me. And when you compound trauma, it gets really confusing to solve it. Right. And so you have like this bucket of stuff coming in and you're like, oh my God, I can't even, it's like, I tried eating right. So I was like, you know, became a nutrition like coach and holistic health coach. And I just was like, I can't fix it with food. Like, and I was like working for doctors, teaching them lifestyle protocols to reverse chronic illness. And I'm like, this is not working for me like at all. Like this is not solving the problem. Cause I still felt like deep in my soul that I was like not safe and not comfortable in my skin. I think my life, you know, when people are taking off, like they're graduating high school and they're like going off to college and like they're on this like trajectory of going up. And so my life wasn't like that. My senior year of high school, I had to have a major spinal surgery and that severely traumatized me. And I've spent the past 30 years trying to recover and repair that incident in my life. And what I know now of all the things that I've done from spirit, I mean, I moved to a spiritual community like 2 years later. I was just like, I'm out, not going to college, like not doing this. I can't sit in a class. Like I couldn't even hear what the teachers were saying. I just was like, I'm in so much pain. I'm so uncomfortable. I can't. And it was like the first time I like acknowledged real depression. Cause I was like, the whole weight of the world was on me and I didn't understand what was happening. But in that journey over the past years to kind of recover my presence in my body, I've worked on embodiment a lot, you know, from teaching Pilates to doing movement techniques to doing alternative healings from like Traeger to, you know, Alexander technique to just, I mean, so many different techniques, right? How do we get our posture to look like nothing's wrong with us? Just to look like we're perfect.
Fascinating.
Yeah. I just wanted to look like I was okay. Cause I was afraid that people would know what had happened to me based on my physicality and the experiences I've had. And so I got into spirituality and metaphysics and all that stuff at a very young age. But what I was doing with the information was weaponizing it against myself. So it was no matter what information I took in, I was destroying my relationship with that information because I was like self-harming with it, if you will. And I kid you not, there's no coach. There was like no technique. There was no acupuncturist. There was no doctor. There was no pill. There was no supplement. There was no movement technique that could clear this pathway in my brain from like self-attack that I did it wrong. And until, you know, fast forward 30 years, I found neurosomatics and I really learned how to rewire my brain and my body and the communication pathways. And I can wholeheartedly say that if I had had these tools 30 years ago, I would not have had the 14 surgeries that I've had. I would understand what was going on inside my body, I wouldn't fear it, right? Like I said to my surgeon, I said this to my surgeon at 18 years old, isn't there like a yoga or like some food that I should eat? Like I was asking the right questions from a holistic mindset to the wrong person, and you're not going to get the right answer. And that I've had to like reconcile that. And I've had to have a lot of acceptance with that and learning to trust myself and learning to trust my body has been the journey. And that's what the neurosomatics has really allowed me to do, is to listen to my limits, respect them, know when to take a step back, give myself some peace and rest, or push a little bit harder, break through this, create a little more safety in my body. It's completely changed my association with how I exercise, because I was an athlete, right? Like I know how to exercise, but like my body doesn't do it the same way anymore. And I have to like activate it differently and like be like, hey, come on, we're going to do this now. You want to try it? Not like, let's pump some iron.
Just take no days off.
Lift those weights, do those jumps, where I'm like, oh my God, my bladder's falling out.
Wow. Okay. So can you, before we get into the neurosomatics, can you talk about when you're talking about the like weaponizing the personal development stuff, what were those thoughts and phrases? Because I think hearing the actual phrases will activate things in people that they need to hear.
Yeah. Gosh, it's like a lot of like, you can't do this, like very defeatist, right? Like you're not allowed to, you're not worth that result. You can't have what you want. You're not worthy of what you want. Yeah. A big one is like, they will know. So it would like create a paranoia. They'll know this about you, this story about you. And, you know, when you're on your healing journey, there's so many layers. And I started out pretty young at like 15, coming to some truths about what had happened in my past as a child. And I was shocked at the experiences I had had. And I was trying to find a resolution from being like sexually abused as a child and trying to say like, okay, like I'm gonna overcome this. And then the spine stuff happened. And I was like, oh my God, this is a physical representation of that part of my body. Everyone's gonna know. And like, I couldn't get over the failure. And then it was like, and then you're not going to be able to make money. And then your creativity is going to be affected. So like, it was like this hyper vigilant awareness around the representation. Let's talk about the chakra system of the area of the body, right? So we're talking the sacral part of my body, creativity, money, sexuality, right?
Yep.
Which are the three things that I struggle with the most in my life, right? They're the three forces that I come back to for healing. And it goes all the way back to when I was 6 years old. And the mindset around like, I can restore my sovereignty here. Like that person doesn't own me anymore. I've done so much work to clear that person out of my life. I've even confronted that person. But the things that have happened have been really hard to reconcile, you know, 10 surgeries on my ovaries and uterus, the final one losing my uterus. So those experiences, they're happening. And I'm like, but I'm trying to heal this. Why is this not fixing? And then I'm like, you're a loser. You're an idiot. You can't figure this out. You're doing it wrong. Like just going down harder and harder because I can't course correct fast enough.
Right. Right. We talked right before we started recording about responsibility and how like personal development and spiritual worlds talk about taking responsibility. Can you speak a little bit into that and how that was or was not working for you?
Yeah, I think I was like a little bit in like the victim mentality of like, this is happening to me, right? Like because I couldn't course correct fast enough, I couldn't save my uterus. I couldn't stop the bleeding. Like I couldn't, you know, I just would have to get blood transfusions and iron IV infusions to keep my red blood cells up so that I could function, like move for 20 years. Wow. That was my life. And I felt victim to the medical things that were happening to me. And then it affected my life And so I felt more victim to those things because it would mean I'd have to leave my job or do something after a major surgery because I needed to rest. I mean, when you don't have enough red blood cells, you don't feel well. Like you literally can't walk up the stairs without being gassed and winded. And you're just like, and I was like, but I'm trying so hard. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, what else am I supposed to do? Right. And I couldn't take responsibility for it because I did feel victim to the things that were happening to me. And I didn't know how to course correct at all. And then after COVID, I had to have an emergency surgery and on my knee. And I came out of that and I was like, I felt like a rag doll. Like I was like, I don't know. I just, for someone who's worked so hard on embodiment, no way, man. It was almost impossible to keep things rolling along. And that's when I found neurosomatics and I literally had to like start piecing my body back together, like one wire at a time. And at first it was super triggering and it was so hard. And I still was looking for people outside of me to fix me. Let's go to the chiropractor. Let's go to the acupuncturist. Let's go do this person. Let's go to the, blah, blah, blah. I was really looking for someone just fix it for me. And when I met my mentor, Elizabeth Kristoff, she just like held me in a way. She's like, let's just go slow, like slow down. And I'd be like, I go so slow. I'm like, I'm not doing this. I'm going so slow.
Yeah.
But once I started to see change in my body, I was like, oh, this is what they're talking about. I am responsible for this. I am responsible for how I respond and react on an autonomic level. And autonomic means the systems inside your body that operate without us telling them to. But when we're under duress and stress for a long period of time, which I had been, even though trying very hard through yoga and meditation and all these alternative practices to regulate myself, that's truly what I was doing, but I didn't have the language. Once I got to the rewiring part, I could take responsibility for how I was feeling. I could feel like, oh, I'm hijacked in my system right now. I feel like someone's like hanging me out to dry, but it's actually my system is doing that right now. And let's go soothe it. Not let's go seek someone else out to tell me how to operate myself or fix me. Let's go work with your system. And so it's just given me sovereignty. It's given me agency that I never thought I could have given the things I've been through.
Incredible. Incredible. So let's dive into, can you explain what neurosomatics is?
Sure. Yeah. So it is a few techniques piecemeal together. So applied neurology, neuropsychology, and then somatics, and then vagus nerve toning. And when you work with those four techniques, you're layering in how the brain speaks to the body. You're looking at how we emotionally connect to it. We're looking at how we release it. And then we're strengthening our autonomic awareness so that we have stronger vagal tone. Our vagus nerve runs from our brain down through our throat, down into our lungs and heart, down into our diaphragm, into our gut, and into our reproductive organs. It is the driver of our body that has been so missed in all medical terminology. There is not a doctor out there that has ever talked to me about this stuff. And once I started regulating and like getting into a regulated place, I can have completely different conversations with doctors about my body than ever before. I would just go in dysregulated before and be like, ah, this is happening. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So this allows you to build a level of awareness. We call it altitude. So like you get triggered, you get a little bit of altitude of like, oh, this is where I am in space. And this is what I need to do to course correct that or feel more at ease or to process it. And I'm going to be honest, like things don't go away. right? We just get better at dealing with them.
Amen.
And I used to have this, like, I would take it personally that bad things were happening in life and be like, oh my God, what did I do wrong? It's not going perfectly. Right. That whole like mindset of like, my life must be in perfect flow all the time. And if it's not, I must be doing something wrong. What's wrong with me?
Right. Right. Mind brain goes to like the, like, haven't I healed this already? Why am I still getting triggered? Like, I go into the fight. Like, I'm like,
over
I'm
this pissed. Level.
Yeah. I'm so pissed. I'm like, I have dealt with this thing forever.
But that's your nervous system fighting back. Right. So like, if you just listen to that dialogue right there, you're in a fight or flight response, right? So you're in a sympathetic response. And so it's like, oh, okay, great. This is how I soothe that part of my system that's overactivated right now.
Mm. How do you soothe it?
I typically always start with the vagus nerve when we're in that sympathetic response. So I'll do something called helical breathing, which is decompressing the vagus nerve at the diaphragm. I'll do a tragus pull, which is decompressing the vagus nerve at the occiput, so just behind at the back of your head. I'll do some tongue circles. And then if someone's more in like that fear response, I'll do some nerve glides. And then if there's like anger in there, then we're going to get into some shaking it out, some anger de-repression, pressing against a wall, growling.
Yep.
It kind of starts to layer in, but throughout that whole process, and this is the beauty of this specific work, is that we have an assessment tool to say, have we gone too far? Are you expanding? Are you contracting? And that boundary of, okay, we need to go back and create a little more safety. That one just pushed you a little bit over the edge. You're contracting. I'm gonna create another bubble of safety. So you know that there is safety. And given the experience I've had, safety is like a pretty far off experience for me. And I've worked very hard to build that into my world. And it still is something that I have to like work on consistently.
Yeah.
So these assessment tools, that's rotational assessment. So we're testing if the body is expanding or contracting, is so important, because a lot of times in these somatic techniques, people are bypassing the body's boundaries and pushing limits, and they're going to go into a freeze response, or they're going to disassociate from their body because they push so hard to get something out. And that's what would happen to me a lot, is like, I'd be in these, like, I lived in Ibiza in Spain, and so we'd always do these women's circles and these whole like somatic processes, and it was amazing. I'd be like screaming and like in the woods, and I'd be like, all these women around me, and we're having an amazing time. But then I'd like pop out. And I disassociate, and I didn't understand those like limits, but I was actually like harming myself while trying to heal. And so this healing process is very boundary driven.
Do you think it's possible to do this healing process in a group, or is this really a one-on-one
situation? No, it's totally possible in a group. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it is?
Yeah. So I'm building a sanctuary, an online sanctuary for women to come in. We'll get coaching practices. So you'll have like monthly coaching. And then there's also on-demand classes that you'll be able to take. So based on any of the things that are going on with you, you want to build your interoception, you feel a little popped out of your body, you can do these practices. So there'll be on-demand classes, and then there'll be mindset coaching too.
So cool.
Yeah.
So cool. I do love the, I forget what you called them, but essentially like the benchmarks or the test to see, have I gone too far? The assessments. Thank you. Because I took one of your masterclasses and I was amazed. Some of these tools I have learned in a million different ways, but the assessment piece for my brain, who also just loves to know, like, am I making progress or am I not? It was so simple and easy and clear to see and feel.
Yeah. It's like,
and I was like, this is awesome.
And that creates safety, right? Because you're like, oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, I've gone too far. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's just take it. We call it a recovery drill. So when I first start working with my clients, I'm assessing where they truly are in their nervous system. So they're like, well, what are we doing here? We're just like doing these drills. And I'm like, well, I'm getting to know you, and I need to see where the big work really is, right? Like, what are we trying to access to deepen into your interoception? You might be more disassociated than you actually think. And so these tools help give us guideposts of, what part of your system needs to be a little bit more activated or a little bit more downregulated. And, you know, there's things that like happen with age and especially with technology, because we spend so much time on computers now and phones, and it can mess up our vestibular system. So we feel a little bit off balance, a little bit dizzy, but we're not really sure, but it's sort of this like passive thing that's happening even as like you're operating, but you don't know that it's actually like activating you and kind of creating a little bit of out, we call it output, like anxiety or panic. And just starting to get some balance in there around like, okay, this system, even though I've not had a head injury or anything severe, is a little bit off, and it's creating this chronic passive siren is what I like to think of it as. And so when you start to assess the whole body through this process, you can really have a perspective of like, wow, this part of me is not as operational as I thought it was. And I didn't know it was impacting me this way. Like working my vestibular system was the craziest process and still is, because I had no idea that it was actually causing me chronic anxiety. Like I didn't realize that I was living in chronic anxiety. I knew that I had some, I was like not feeling great. And like things were, and I was pretty aware, but like, holy frittatas.
Like wow.
Fucking chronic anxiety. And now I'm like out of it and I'm going, whoa, like how horrible was it that I was living in that space with this level of awareness, but didn't even know. And that's that like unconscious part of you that, you know, until you bring that into awareness and consciousness, you don't know what you don't know.
Yes.
And that's the hardest part about healing sometimes too, is because like you have these desires, but you don't know what you don't know. And when you're so used to sensation in your body, you just take it for granted.
Yeah. You know? I'm just thinking of the amount of, I'm going to say women, but men as well, that are experiencing that underlying chronic anxiety.
Yeah.
Is there, I'm guessing there's not a one size fits all, but is there any exercise that you could give us through the podcast that we could do together with the listener that could support, or is it really individual based?
So the assessment is the key for us to know if it works for you or not. Right. So that's like, that's everyone's safety net. And so I'll just like walk you through this right now. So if you just sit up nice and tall, relax your shoulders and just take a deep breath in and out, and then open your eyes and look right and look left. Mark how far you can turn your head right and left. That is a rotational assessment. Okay. So we're going to go and do helical breathing right now. So I'm going to have you cross your left foot over your right. Take your right hand and put it on your left knee. Take your left hand, put it behind your head. Good. You're going to rotate towards the left. Good. You're going to inhale for 1, 2, 3. Hold your breath for 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Exhale for 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Inhale for 3, nice and long into the backside of the body. Hold for 5. Exhale for 8. Inhale for 3. Hold for 5. Exhale for 8. And gently relax and unwind. Take a deep breath in, uncross your feet, and exhale. Good. And then do the rotational assessment and look left and right and see if you've expanded or contracted.
Now, personally, mine expanded.
Yes. Great.
It's especially pretty, my left rotation.
It's pretty common that that's an expansion one. That's a pretty safe expansion one. There are some people that struggle with the length of the breath. Like when I do it, I'm doing 5, 10, 10 for my breathing.
Cause I really
love that. Like it just,
that would push me over. Yeah. I already know if it was too long, I would go into like a,
yeah, exactly. So, but I've been practicing over years and growing that capacity. In the beginning, I was a 3, 5, 8. And for some people, that's even too much. You might be a 3, 3, 5. And so just experiment with the length of the breath, to see.
So powerful. Yeah. It's so cool. It's so cool. Listener, I hope you love that because I think it's fascinating. Like something as simple as that, like Carrie, these tools, this is what I love about this is that you don't need to really do anything. Like it's literally being here with your body and breathing. Yeah. And like finding these, you know, positions or doing these tiny, tiny things. You've shared some other ones where it's like, you can do this while sitting in traffic. You can do this while like being in the grocery store.
Yeah.
Like that is what I think is so cool, that we don't need to go do a week-long retreat in Costa Rica in order to release our anxiety.
Yeah. So that's the crazy thing is that I got to this point in my career where I was like, this somatic stuff is, you know, I started really getting into somatics after my surgery where I lost my uterus. And my recovery around that was to create a process called somatic styling. And it was really to help me embody and like get through how I built my presence. And, but it was like a very deep journey too, right? Like it was like intense and emotional and like, well, what are we moving through? And I got exhausted by the somatic journey where I was like, I'm just not seeing the results that I need.
Yeah.
And this is the neurosomatics is really the masculine form, I call it, of somatics, because you have this scientific structure, you have limits and boundaries,
yeah,
right? And you don't have this like just amorphous expression, right? Where somatics can really go there. And while the goal in all somatics is to create safety in the body, sometimes I wasn't able to do that with the other processes that I was doing. So this gives me structure that I needed as feedback, like a positive feedback loop.
Sure.
Whereas the other stuff got a little bit too out there for me.
Yeah.
You know, and this is like, I can do literally 15 minutes twice a day and be like bang in my body, spot on.
Well, and what I love is that you are now taking that and really focusing on bringing that inside the corporate world. Mm-hmm. And I would love for you to speak into what that looks like, how that supports people, because I know that we do have a lot of listeners that are in the corporate world and want to blend their spirituality and their physical embodiment and all this stuff. But then it's like we go into work and we put on a suit or we put on this outfit and we're like disconnected from that version of us. So can you talk about what your vision is for this work inside corporate?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think the way we work is totally broken. I think our expectations on ourselves is not realistic. I think our expectations on our body is not realistic. And so if you can get an employee or, you know, someone that works below you or above you to get really lit up about what they're doing, you're going to have the most productive, creative, informed person that's like ready to go. But if you have someone that feels controlled, putting too many demands on them, their time is limited, you're asking too much from them, you're going to get the most defensive, shut down human being.
Yeah.
There's like such a huge extreme. And I really experienced this when I was in corporate. I would shut down so much because of the stuff that they would say and do, and like really poor management, to be honest, like really poor management. And because of my own trauma, my defenses would really come up. And I want to just see how people shift how they relate so that they stop projecting onto other people. Like I want to see team building really happen in a way that allows them to trust their team members, that they have capacity. That's like one of the number one things out there is that team members don't trust that the other person has capacity to take on a part of a project. So then they harbor it for themselves to take on, and so they put more stress load on themselves. So I think building a culture where there's a deeper interconnectedness and there's a new language on how people are relating physically and mentally is going to change the environment so that people are more productive. They are more free to express. They're not living in their defenses, and their capacity to produce increases.
I mean, I'm just like, okay, yes for corporate in the workspace, yes for me in entrepreneurship, for me in my relationship.
Yeah, like, so this is what we're really working on is your relationship with yourself. So
Yes.
My coaching process called Elegant Leadership is truly like how you self lead. And so if you look at, let's say your defense system, like if your defense is to shut down, you're not coming full forward, right? You're not bringing your full self forward. You're shutting down. So it's like, you have to go and repair that. And then you got to come back. And then it's like this and another thing. But if you cleared your capacity and like expanded, and you didn't have to enter into your project in shutdown, like what could that do for you? Like I started my business literally the week I started my first product, I almost died. And so I started from the biggest contraction and I was trying to operate my business and trying to get through it. And I was like, this sucks. This is great. I'm an entrepreneur. This sucks. Like the experience was so awful. And I was all about being authentic and like real. And I felt like such a fraud because behind the scenes, I felt fucking awful.
Mm.
And course correcting that journey to course correct my relationship with my business and myself and my peers brought me to this work.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a really random question and you are the perfect person to ask. So online on Instagram, we see a lot of things about nervous system regulation. We see people doing cold plunges. We see people sticking their face in the cold, you know, bucket of water. Yeah. We see a bunch of different things. And I would love to know your thoughts specifically on the cold plunge.
I think it's...
Yeah, give it to me. Give it to me real.
So I think it's great at times. I don't think it's a solution for everyone. It can be extremely activating. And so for someone who is in a chronic sympathetic nervous system response, it can just put you in a more sympathetic nervous system response, right? Like you have to look at, are we upregulating? Are we downregulating? Are we working with the body's limits and boundaries? Are we pushing it so hard because we just want to get through it? I think it's a really aggressive therapy. I do love it at times for sure, but it's not like,
it's not the end all be all. And
no,
I think
it's not.
Like
it's
watered down on Instagram where it's like nervous system regulation. I'm getting in the ice bath. And I remember
nervous system regulation is like a hot topic, right? So everyone's like, now that word is hot. So now everyone's using it all the time. And it's like, you know, when everyone got onto trauma and they were saying trauma informed this, trauma informed that, you know, and it's like, okay, cool. But like, are we using this ethically? Like,
right.
Is this fully informed? No, it's not. It's really dangerous for some people. Like for me, I have to be really careful given the things that have happened to me medically. Cold plunge can go really wrong for me and I can't walk. And like, I have to know if I have the safest environment around me, because if I get out and my legs don't work, it's not just like, oh, let's warm up. It is a full day of figuring it out again and repairing my body. It is not always safe.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Yes.
I'm like, I needed an expert to come on and say this because I have said this and I have seen other people and I don't think I know that they're not doing it in a malicious way or a bad way, but they're just unaware. And so that is the piece.
Like we are limitless. I want to exceed my limits totally. I want to do it safely. And when you don't have a language with your body to understand what is safe and what's not, you're going to do harm. And so the push culture, toxic, right?
Mm-hmm.
The work culture, push, 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 push. That goes the same thing for healing. Like you need to have limits and boundaries to take it. Like I'm the queen of like, you know, take 10 steps forward, fall back 15 steps. Right. And that's like not how I want to move forward. And they call it like a healing crisis. Right. I've existed in those healing crises so much that I really have to have a strong conversation language with my body so that I don't create that burnout or that cycle where I have to do a huge restorative repair.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I love is what I'm hearing you say is you are creating more connection with your body. And that is my jam. That is what I am all about. And you are giving us a new language and new ways of relating, which I think is fucking cool. So for the woman who wants to live her life full out, this is the Full Out podcast. Yep. You know that I'm all about expansion and taking the risk and really creating the life, the health, the relationships, the business, the finances that we have, that like soul nudge, that soul calling, that saying, go do this thing. What are the tips that you give the listener who's like, I hear the soul calling, I'm ready to do the thing. How can neurosomatics help me? What do I need to do?
You need to practice. I mean, it is so like the only way to do it is to practice, right? It's like any kinesthetic experience, like you have to embody it, you have to do it. And if you want to feel safe in expansion, right? Like I'm the queen of vision and expansion, but like doing it safely was not my thing. I didn't understand safety at all because I had never had it in my life. I was exposed to some really bad behaviors and it was a pattern inside my body. So I just was like, expose myself again, right? And so repatterning that like has been a process. And I'm not alone in that. I know a lot of people have an unhealthy relationship with expansion. Mm-hmm. And I'm all for expansion. And when you have a practice daily, right? We are creating a new language. Do you go and study Spanish and do it once and then like expect yourself to remember it a month later? Like, no. I spoke Spanish like almost fluently when I lived in Spain. I haven't practiced in almost 2 years. And I like, you know, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. So when you start to regulate your nervous system on a consistent basis, it compounds. And that is when you start to live in this new reality, it's a new sensation, your sensory awareness changes because all of a sudden things that triggered you don't trigger you. You relate to people differently. You can hold space differently. Yeah. You can converse differently. You actually vision differently. Like, so the only way to do it is do it. Or to get it is to do it.
Yeah. We have a lot of women who are into their health and wellness and fitness that listen to the podcast. And I'm curious if you could speak a little bit into, we've talked, I've had different people on talking about cyclical living in relation to exercise. We've had some different things around movement. And I'm wondering if you could speak to this nervous system in regards to your physical activity and just some information for the listener on that.
Yes. So it informs your activity. It informs your capacity. Like, you know, there's days where you wake up and you feel like a little foggy, a little hazy, and you're like a little bit like, ooh, I'm not really sure. And I know you've had a few of those because you're coming out of the surgery, right?
Yeah. And I'm like 1000%.
Yes. And you're like, wait, what is happening to me? Right. So those are not going to be days where you're like, let's go pump some iron. I'm just going to push through this, right? There's going to be days where you're like, oh, I'm going to listen to my body. I'm going to be a little bit more gentle. But there are practices, like I said, you know, coming out of this last surgery 2 years ago, I was like a rag doll. So like my association with my body was really messed up. And, you know, it was my 14th surgery. I couldn't figure it out. Like I was just not on board. So I had to learn and still have to learn like these micro techniques to activate the body before I ask it to do something more intense, right?
Tell me more about that.
So you can do like contractions, right? So like I'll do bicep contractions and like internally rotate my arm a little bit more and really hold the bicep to be like, okay, you are here. I'm changing my interoceptive like communication pathways and activating my proprioception. Okay. So where my body's in space and how I feel my body, activating the bicep muscle and then contracting it inward, holding it for about 30 seconds, release, shake it off, do the other one. Okay, cool. We're here. Doing it with my lats, same thing, contract it down, lift my hip, activate that contraction together. Okay. Hi, here we are. Yep. This is where it is. You're in space. Yes. Activate this part of your body. Hello. Okay. We're here. Great. This is all about mapping out your body. Do the other side, shift the rib cage, contract it down. Same thing. And then you can do the glutes. So upper, lower glutes. So you're externally rotating and pushing the leg out against a little bit of like the wall or like a table, and then pulling it in. So then you're activating that internal lower part, right? And all of a sudden it's like, chink, chink. And the body's like, oh yeah, I'm awake, right? I've been teaching Pilates for years. So there's something like when we start doing Pilates, like you're waking up parts of the body to increase the synovial fluid, right? To say like, hey, we're going to do this activity. I'm priming you to get ready. So when you start to have those kind of practices, it allows you to start to open up to what your capacity actually is, because you don't always know. So like, you might be able to go and lift some heavier weights that day that you feel a little bit foggy, but you just have to change that body mapping a little bit.
I am finding this fascinating because I know that there's been seasons of my life that I have felt less inclined to go to the gym and lift anything or do any sort of HIIT and more called to go to ballet. Yeah. Or to go to pole class. And then there's other seasons where I wake up and I'm like, I'm ready to lift. I'm ready to get on a treadmill. I'm ready to do this. And I always thought it was an energetic thing, but I also think it was definitely a very physical nervous system experience too. If I look at what else was happening in my life at the time.
Yeah. I think when you look at like what the stress load is and what you're fighting against, it's real. And like what your capacity is. You know, working out has been really hard the past few years and just trying to like activate that, but knowing that I'm really working out my nervous system so that I can get this level of alignment back and then be able to like really lift heavy weights. And I've been able to do that now, whereas it was like not okay for a while, really not okay. Yeah. And every time I would lift weights, I'd have a full like neck, arm, shoulder, chest, like I need to go to the hospital. This pain is so bad. Like, and I've just done some bicep, you know, and it's like, what is wrong? Yeah. I need an injection. Like I can't handle this. And so that doesn't happen anymore. Right.
Incredible.
Yeah. Helical breathing really helped me with that one. And then nerve block.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good. So good. What have we not touched on that you think is important? Is there anything that you feel called to share or to deepen?
I feel like this journey is really about like deepening your self-trust. And
yes, tell me more about self-trust, girl. Tell me.
Yeah, it is the foundation of reality. Because if you don't trust yourself, you're going to seek validation outside of yourself, right? Is this right? Is this right? Is this right? So you're going to live in self-doubt. Fear and self-doubt will only perpetuate if you keep doing things where you're bypassing your self-trust. Right. So we always want to work on that repair, that deep inner trust. And so, you know, before this, we got on and I was like, you know, I don't know if I want to talk about this or this. And I had to like go in and ask myself, is this a boundary that I can talk about right now? And it was a no. And I was like, okay, great. Like that's off the table. And just knowing like I can walk away now without any fear and doubt that I exposed myself on something that I don't want to talk about. Yeah. Whereas before, like when I would do podcast interviews, before I knew this stuff, I would bypass my boundaries all the time. And then I'd have this vulnerability hangover and I'd be like, oh my God, I shared so much about myself blah, 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 and feel so uncomfortable. And then I'd have to repair all that. And it would be like a whole nervous system meltdown. And like, you don't have to live that way. Like you don't have those boundaries in place to respect yourself and keep that trust that you've already established. When you bypass those boundaries, you are harming yourself.
I love that you spoke to the vulnerability hangover because as I've been moving through this explant process, I've always been someone who's shared a lot online. That is like part of my human design. It is part of how I've built my business. It's how I connect with people. And I remember earlier in my journey getting some of those vulnerability hangovers. And I've had a few people ask me recently in this explant journey if I've felt anything. And I'm so solid and like, no, like I'm so solid in how I take care of myself, listening to my body and knowing, hey, is this something that I'm still in the middle of going through that's not ready to be shared yet? Yes. And then I just know, and it's become such an automatic experience that I don't experience those vulnerability hangovers anymore.
Right. It's so wild. Isn't life like so much more fun when you don't have that major hangover?
Oh my God. Yes.
Like it's just not a fun experience. And like, if you know how to protect yourself from doing that, not like a defense protect yourself, but like a, like really honoring your boundaries of like, hey, I don't need to share this publicly. Like this isn't going to impact the world in a way that feels good to me. So it's not actually going to resonate with anyone else.
Yeah.
In a positive
way. And then there's this level I'm thinking, and I know we got to wrap up soon, but I'm thinking too of just the woman who is new in her business, who is about to put the things out online and who does have this fear of judgment or fear of what are people going to say and what's coming up. And I am seeing that these tools are just even more important to know that you've got you. Yes. You are taking care of you. Carrie, go for it.
Okay. So there's one thing I want to teach right now, because just off of this topic is the somatic yes, no. We all have access to it, right? So I just want everyone to close their eyes and take a deep breath in and out and just feel what it feels like to take a breath. Okay. And then I want you to ask yourself, give me a yes and inhale. Feel the sensation of what a yes feels like in your body. And now say, give me a no and inhale and feel the sensation of what a no feels like. Trust your body. It is so much wiser than your brain. We are so cerebrally trained in this planet, and our bodies have so much more wisdom. And if that's the one takeaway you take at all today, walk away with a somatic yes, no, and like follow that through and through and through, and you will have success no matter what.
Well, Mike, motherfucking drop.
I love you.
I teach that too, and it has literally been a game changer.
Yeah.
It's fucking huge.
Yeah. And like, it's so huge. Ask first, just tell whoever you're with, give me a second, and just take a moment. You're allowed to have a moment and check in with
literally
yourself.
Carlos will now say like, okay, do your thing.
Yeah.
And he'll like, give me a second. I literally be like, yep, nope. Like, no, we're not doing that. Or like, no, we're not going there. Or no, we're like, whatever it is. Or he's like, oh, what'd your body say about that? Like, what is that? You know, like, and he doesn't fully understand it, although I've taught him before.
Yeah.
And it's so fun because I think that's the other thing. And then we'll wrap up is that you teach people how to be in relationship with you.
Yes.
And so if you are uncomfortable with doing this, like, you, it's just teaching your partner or your children or your friends, like, this is something new that I get to do. I get to have literally 30 seconds to myself before we move forward or before I choose to step in or out. And it's really cool because most people want that too. They're like, wait, what are you doing? That's really cool. Like, wow, to see a woman who trusts herself. Yeah. We don't often see that. So yeah.
I know when you hear like the full body yes and the full body no. And I'm like, because I like that just doesn't, that language doesn't resonate with me. I literally have to be like, give me a yes, give me a no, and then ask the question and then go. And so look, everyone needs different language. And this one is the one that worked for me. And it really resonates with all my clients. Like when we're making a business decision or a career decision, it is like game changer for them because it's embodied. It's confidence, it's self-trust, it's reassurance. It's the things that we need to know that we're doing the right things for ourselves.
So freaking good. Carrie, I could talk to you for hours. Where can people find you if they want to connect with you more?
For sure. CarrieMontgomery.com is my website, and Real Carrie Montgomery is my Instagram.
And we'll make sure that we tag all the things below. Carrie has amazing workshops, amazing things. If you want to go deeper, send her a message, connect with her. She's a total rock star and just a sister. And I'm just so grateful, Carrie, that you've been here. Last quick question. You're jumping into an elevator. You got from floor 0 to floor 11 and a woman turns to you and says, Carrie, how do I live my life full out? What do you say?
Trust your body.
Gorgeous. I love you. Guys, if you loved this podcast episode, take a screenshot, share it with your friends, post it on social media, tag us. We are so committed to raising the vibration of the planet. And that starts with you, starts with your friends, your sisters, your communities. So thank you for being here. We appreciate you. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me. If today's podcast inspired you in any way, we would love your support in spreading the word. Please subscribe, rate, and review, and let the other queens in your life know that they are also worthy of living life full out. If you want to continue the conversation, I'd love to connect with you on Instagram or Facebook at Samantha Jo Harvey. Have a fabulous day, and I'll see you next time.